Devlin here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. And we're here with you for another episode, and thank you for pressing play and joining us today. I'm gonna keep it a light episode today, so lots of fun and talking about some stuff. I'm going to review two movies that I finally got to see. Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to be coming up in just a few seconds. And I'm also going to take a look at the new Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And that'll come up later on. Since the long weekend's coming up, I'll take a look at how you can, like, liven up a party, as in like having a theme night or something. And then I'm going to talk about comfort foods because, you know, sorry, that didn't, a little bit of burp there. Comfort foods and, you know, how they just, we tend to go to them, you know, in good times, bad times, you know, confused times. But comfort foods, you know, I think even if you're on a diet, comfort foods are a good thing because, you know, they take us back to the past and stuff. But anyhow, I will talk about that more and fully. But first, we're going to start things off with a review of Ant-Man and the Wasp, one of the most anticipated movies of the summer. Now, I'll be absolutely honest with you. It took me a couple of weeks to see this. Normally, Marvel movies I like to see within the first week because, you know, you don't want any spoilers. You just don't want to have to deal with all that. But I also know that Marvel movies stay in theaters for a couple of weeks. And I'll be honest, Ant-Man I liked a lot. It got a passing grade for me. I haven't seen a Marvel movie I haven't liked yet, like in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I've definitely seen Marvel movies that aren't in the Cinematic Universe that I didn't like. But what I found with Ant-Man was that it was on the lesser scale, in my opinion. And I basically said, well, we can wait a couple of weeks for this. I don't have to run out and see this. And, you know, after we just had, like, that cinematic, you know, awesomeness that was the Avengers Infinity War, I thought, well, this is going to be, you know, light fare, so it's not like I have to go out and see it. Anyhow, that being said, as I said, I liked the first Ant-Man. I just didn't love it. I had some real problems with it. But overall, it was okay. But I went into Ant-Man and the Wasp with pretty much expecting to come out with the same feelings, and I was pleasantly surprised because I actually really liked Ant-Man and the Wasp. In fact, I liked it more than some movies that I've seen this summer, like Incredibles 2 and Deadpool 2. I thought Ant-Man and the Wasp really found its footing in this one. The problem I had with the first one is I don't know. I like the heist film idea of it, and I really thought Paul Rudd was likable. I loved Michael Douglas. But I don't know, his secondary friends that people raved about, Michael Pena, and, you know, T.I., I forgot what his real name is. That's what I usually call him. Tip Harris. And, you know, I found them actually kind of stereotypes, and people raved about it, and I was like, you know, am I the only one who sees how stereotypical these guys are? And I think it's almost bordering on offensive, but I guess if other people weren't offended, I shouldn't be. So I liked Ant-Man and the Wasp almost immediately. I felt they got the story right away. Like, they knew exactly what they wanted to do in this story. And Paul Rudd, of course, was still bringing his A-game. And I really love Michael Douglas in these movies. I think this is where we see him shine. And it's almost a modern miracle because Michael Douglas had some serious cancer. And a lot of people didn't think he'd pull through. So to see him, you know, nailing jokes and kicking ass in this character role is really great to see. And Evangeline Lilly, who was in the first movie, and I actually liked, but I didn't think she was anything incredible. I really think she steps up to the plate a little more in this movie, and I really think she steps up right up to the title that she is in. And that's great to see because I've always known she's a really good actress. I watched the first two seasons of Lost, and I really liked her in there. Ant-Man and the Wasp basically takes place a couple years after the original. It takes place just before Infinity War, for those of you who know, and I'm not going to give any spoilers. But basically, Paul Rudd's character is kind of still under house arrest because of his leaving the country to help Captain America in Civil War. And he's been separated for a while from Evangeline Lilly. I keep wanting to say Angelina Jolie. Evangeline Lilly and Michael Douglas, who, because of his court restrict, can't even be near him. And they're kind of mad at him anyhow, because apparently he stole the suit to go over to do the Civil War fight. And so right there, they nail the story. So Paul Rudd's making the most of it. You know, he's having the time with his daughter. And I really think he bonds with his daughter a lot sweeter in this movie. And they seem to catch that a little more. And Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly have been obsessing because since Scott went to another dimension, which they know their mother a long time ago went into, they have been trying to build a tunnel that will take them to that dimension, and they believe there's a chance their mother could be alive. That's all I'm going to say. But eventually they also know that they need Scott, because Scott was the one who went there. And if Scott could come back out, then there's a way he could come back out. And so there's a lot of nice little things, seeing all the characters seem to move forward from where they were in the first movie. This movie, I was surprised, doesn't have a lot of action sequences. And I'm surprised that people are liking it as much as they do. Like, I like it because I don't necessarily have to see so much action, even in an action film. But there isn't a lot. There's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of, story building. But there really isn't a lot. But for what there is, the stuff that I do see is pretty good. It was directed by Peyton Reed, and he does a really good job with this stuff. I don't really think you have to see it in 3D. I saw it in 3D, and I couldn't tell you if it made much of a difference, so I wouldn't recommend that. But I do have to say that I was pleasantly surprised with this. I went in with low expectations, and I found the story to be fun. I was worried that after Thor Ragnarok, which I enjoyed, but I thought they went a little too goofy, I was afraid that they were going to go too goofy with a lot of their movies, and so far they haven't. Black Panther, was pretty serious. There was some jokes in it. And Infinity War had some jokes, but it was obviously very serious. But Ant-Man and the Wasp, they could have easily, did the sizes growing smaller, larger, and played that to comic effect. But they don't exploit it. It's actually quite fun and well done. Sorry, having a little sip here. I got some chocolate milk talking about comfort food later on. And I've just felt like some of that today. Anyhow, and so it really works good. His friends are in the movie, but they don't use them quite as much. And I didn't feel they came off too much like stereotypes. And so that's why I was okay. But, I still kind of cringe when Michael Pena is on the thing, because I think Michael Pena is a wonderful actor. I just, this character is good for me in small, small doses. When he's on the screen too long, I just feel he goes right into that stereotype, and I don't really like that. Anyhow, Ant-Man and the Wasp has a lot going for it, and I definitely, if you haven't seen it yet, I totally recommend it. As I said, it's a good time. Everybody plays their parts well. The villain in this is kind of interesting. I can't remember the name. I'm trying to think of the name of the villain. There's kind of two villains here. I won't reveal one of them because it might be a bit of a surprise. But Hannah John Kamen as a character named Ghost is really, really interesting. And, I don't think it's one of Marvel's best, but visually, I think they get a lot out of it. And I actually think it's a very interesting character. And I don't know how they could have made it better, but I get the character, when you get to know the character without giving it away, is very urgent about why she has to do this. And because of that, because of that, you actually see that, you see more desperation in her actions than, I'm a villain, twirling your mustache kind of thing, which is quite nice. And as I said, a really great movie. It's a fun movie, and I really liked it. And as I said, the action sequences are few and far between, but when they get into them, they're actually not too bad. And so, yeah, as I said, I like this more than Incredibles 2, which left me very underwhelmed, and definitely Deadpool 2, which I wasn't in the headspace to see that, and I just thought it was more of the same and just a little too much. So I'm going to have to give Ant-Man and the Wasp 3.5 stars. I think it is good. And when I saw Ant-Man, and I was showing all the Marvel movies to a friend, I wasn't really looking forward to seeing Ant-Man again. But when I did see it again, I was still exactly the same way. I thought maybe I'd be better or not, but it wasn't. But as I said, this movie I look forward to seeing again because I think it did a lot of wonderful things. I thought Ant-Man was really funny in Civil War, and I thought he worked really good in it. And here I like that he actually has, the Wasp to play back and forth with a little bit because it does tend to work when they do use it. I don't know if they will do a third one if it makes money. If it makes the green, they will. But if they do, I look forward to seeing where they take the characters. And there is a end sequence here. It's not the greatest end sequence, but as always, if you're a true Marvel fan, stick around for it. But there is a sequence in the credits that comes, when the credits start, and then there's a little bit of credits, and then they do something. That does tell you where Ant-Man and the Wasp are at the time of the Infinity War thing. So they do touch on the Infinity War, and I'm not going to spoil it, but you have to wait till the credits. So, go in, have a fun ride, but be ready to, you will be dealt with what goes through Ant-Man and the Wasp when the end of Infinity War happens. That's not the right. Yeah, it is Infinity War. Huh. Kind of lost it here. Anyhow, so Ant-Man and the Wasp, if you're a Marvel fan, you've probably already seen it, but if you were hesitant like I was, give it a chance. It's a fun popcorn movie, and that's really what we want out of our summer films. Anyhow, speaking of summer films, I'm going to be taking a look at another sequel, Mamma Mia. Here we go again. But I'm going to do that after the break to split things up a bit. And right now, I'm going to move my focus. The long weekend is coming up. Well, depending when you're listening to this, if you listen to it, if you're one of those avid fans, like I like to believe I have, but I probably don't. But if you are listening to it, the long weekend's coming up. But you can do these anytime. Like, it doesn't even have to be a long weekend. It's just when the long weekend comes. I sometimes like to have get-togethers with friends. Sometimes it's just, make some popcorn, put on a movie, that's it, But sometimes I get overachieving and I like to create days and like theme nights, and some of these have become very popular, and I keep trying different ones, and I decided I'm going to talk a little bit about it because I think these nights are becoming more and more popular, and I can actually see people wanting to do these. And so one of them that I have talked about probably ad nauseum is, and I won't go too much because I know you. Oh, he's talking about board games again. I had a classic board game night, and you don't even have to do a classic board game night. You can do a board game night, and you know what? You could do a video game night too. A friend of mine told me that he used to do, vintage video game nights, and that sounded like a lot of fun. It's just I'm It's been a long time since I played video games, and I don't own any, so I'd have to make some major investments. So, if you have a whole bunch of old video games, by all means. But for me, a real old guy, I have some board games. And what happened is I decided to do a vintage board game because, I talked about how much I liked it, and a friend of mine gave me the idea, and I decided to run with it. And I got my board games, and I had some people bring their board games, and I actually invested in some new board games. Now, this probably sounds expensive if you have absolutely no board games, but you know what? Not really. You can go to a lot of secondhand shops. I won't name any because I work at one, and I don't want people to think that I'm just pushing that. But you can go to a lot of places. Used places and find board games. Just remember to check to make sure all the pieces are there, or if there are pieces missing, that they're not going to be pieces, they're going to screw up the game. Another good places to find these are like garage sales. There's always people getting rid of games, and a lot of times those games do have all the pieces, but usually, in most cases, they won't be upset if you want to look to buy the game. And you can get them for really cheap, and sometimes you can get some really vintage games. And where I work, we get a lot of games, and I've picked up several from there. But yeah, check out garage sales. It's a great way to get games. Anyhow, all you need is some cheap snacks, and crank out the Monopoly, crank out the Trouble. Another cheap way is the dollar store. I actually picked up the game Uno that I raved about just a couple of episodes ago, and like you could find other games there, maybe not the best games, but it's a dollar store. You could also pick up several decks of cards and go on YouTube and find out how to play card games. Because I remember as a kid, my parents used to love card games and having card night, whether you're playing poker or euchre or canasta or bridge or cribbage. Great, get yourself some cards and just have a good old-fashioned card night. And as I said, some cheap snacks, everybody's happy. Also, if you have old movies or old TV shows in your library, a retro TV night is always fun. Whether you do it up as an old style, grindhouse. Maybe you have some old B movies that you're like, oh, why did I pick that up? Well, you know what? Invite some friends over, get some snacks, and watch them because it's nothing more fun than watching a bad, crappy movie with a bunch of friends having a good laugh. And you always can find them. And again, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, you don't. You can buy cheap snacks, and you can go to used places and probably pick up some of these movies really, really cheap. I know even the dollar store carries some, but they don't have the greatest selection. But you can find old movies, or tell everybody to bring their favorite B movie, and then they can bring it, and then you don't have to even worry about it. And then you just all decide and agree. We used to do a thing called Pick a Flick, where we would put all these titles in, like, maybe like 7 or 8 titles. And then basically we'd have people rank them from the one I want to see to the one I don't want to see. Then we would do like a point system, and at the end of it, we would play the movie that had the most points. And then again, just bring snacks out, beverages, sometimes alcoholic beverages for those people who might not be into cult movies as much. And you don't even have to do this with cult movies. Pick a theme. We're going to do a shark night. We're going to do a, an indie night. We're going to do a movies of the 60s night. It doesn't even have to be that. Or if you do a retro night with old TV shows, if you collect old TV shows, you'd be surprised how fun a night of watching episodes of Gilligan's Island are. Or, crank out an old Leave It to Beaver or I Love Lucy or Dukes of Hazzard or, just endless things. Or have a marathon night, maybe a show that's, an unwritten, like something. Many people don't watch, but you love. Have a marathon and say, "Come on down, and we'll watch three of the first 3 episodes of a series." And if they get hooked, it could become a weekly thing that you guys do for a bit, and another fun thing that you can do. I also talked about how you could make a makeshift drive-in on an I think last year or 2 years ago, where I won't go into all that, but you could have a double feature night. And what I suggest with you then is maybe hit the dollar store or a secondhand store and see if you have any old cartoons and play the cartoons at the beginning. And then basically, what you can also do is if you put a DVD on and they have trailers at the beginning, let the trailers run so it feels like it. And then people can go to the bathroom or fill up their drinks or thing. Just another way to spice up a party and make it feel like it's. You know, we're going to have an old-fashioned drive-in night. The last one I'm going to have is the video dance party, and it doesn't have to be a video dance party. It can just be a dance party. Ways you can do this is you just make a playlist where you put a shuffle on and put fun dancing music, maybe even ask people if they have special music. I know some people actually tell people to bring a small stick, memory stick of music with you, and then they'll add that to the playlist as well. And then everybody has their music shuffled. And I think that's an amazing idea. For me, what I did is a couple of years ago, I don't even know if I've ever talked about the video dance party, but I will now. And this is built into like something a lot of fun. A handful of my friends do it. I'd invite more and more people, but I'm very cautious as who I invite because I think some people will think it was lame. And the people that come to my party do not think they're lame. They think they're awesome. So we want people with that kind of positive energy. But so what I started doing is one New Year's it started. We didn't have any plans, and I just didn't feel like watching a movie. So what we did was we, you know, I burnt, yes, I'm talking illegally here. I burnt some videos on a disc, and we put them on, and then we had a video dance party. And everybody seemed to like it because, you know, everybody who danced was up on the floor enjoying the music, and the people that didn't dance were eating snacks, talking, and watching the visuals. Because music videos is a lost art, and I know some people really don't like music videos, but sometimes they're fun to have in the background. Yeah, it's great to put on music and just dance, you know, move the coffee table. And what we found is that we actually found that when we move our coffee table and our couch, we actually have a lot of room in my little apartment for dancing. Well, not a lot. Like, I couldn't have 20 people, but, you know, we could definitely get about, you know, 6 or 7 people dancing comfortably. And hey, on some nights, the closer you dance, the better it is. So, anyhow, and then basically what happened is it kind of grew. You know, we just did it simply, and then I started inviting a couple other people, and then a couple of other people. And as I said, we don't have a big group that does it, and I'm always looking to see who to invite. And we just, you know, let our hair down, go. We dance for like, I think it's something like 3.5 hours or something straight. We're old, so we start our parties rather early. And that's the one thing when you do have your own party, you set your time. So, you know, I love getting invites to parties, and then when I say, okay, so show up around 10, I'm like, 10? I'm a 50-year-old man now. I'm winding down around 10. But so we start rather early. But now what we've done is we've done the discs and we've done all that. But now what we do is a friend of mine, Corda, gave us a Roku where we can watch YouTube videos right there. So I can actually program the whole night. And then just press play, and my playlist comes up. And what I've done now is I've had friends send requests in, so now I mix their stuff in, and it's become a lot of fun. Now, it's not just, you know, clearing the floor and having a dance place. We actually put out a spread. You know, it's not a massive spread, but we have lots to eat, and we always have lots left over. And every time we always say, you know, we made way too much. We shouldn't do that. And then we usually do the same the next time. As I said, we sometimes have theme nights. We've had Halloween parties. We've had, you know, rock and roll type style. We always mix it up because I prefer to dance to a mix of music, like mostly rock and pop. But even when we have a theme, I usually throw in like, oh, here's your disco set, here's a country set. You know, I try to mix it up just for everyone to have a little bit of something. But the requests certainly have helped because they're now telling me specific videos they'd like to see. And I don't play all of them, so they get a surprise when they do. We decorate. That's Mike's forte. Mike decorates. It's gotten more and more elaborate. I think the first year we only had a couple of little things, but luckily I'm a person who collects stuff, so I have a lot of disco balls and disco lights, and I seem to keep buying more and more of them. And Mike puts that all together, and he does a wonderful job with it. He loves doing it. Mike may not be the life of the party, but he loves getting these parties ready and seeing people just like come in going, oh, look at the lights, and look at how good the table looks and stuff. So I thank him for doing that. And it's nice to have a partner that understands, I like to entertain once in a while. So anyhow, you don't have to be as elaborate as that. You can go to the dollar store, pick up some balloons or just some, they always have like party favors. But again, you don't have to spend a lot. Snacks can be really cheap. Alcohol, the best bet is fend for yourself. We always tell people you can bring alcohol. I don't drink alcohol, but well, once in a blue moon, but I really don't really enjoy it. But we don't stop other people from doing it. But I'm not supplying it because, so there's a lot of ways that you can have fun theme nights on a budget. And try different things. I've done trivia nights. I've done, I've just use your imagination and just try to, reincorporate. Like find ways to deal with it. You can't go to a campsite. Put some light music on in the back. Put your TV on. Find your old Christmas log video. Turn the music down so you don't have to hear the Christmas music and pretend you're at a bonfire. Like, do whatever, come up with creative things. And the best part of it is, it's the company that comes over. It's the people that surround you that make the parties, and they'll bring the enhancement better. And you know what? You might even see one of those naysayers that come to the party. By the end of it, they're like, you know what? I had a really good time with that. So if you're doing some guest or entertaining this week, why don't you change it up, add some themes? Hopefully, I gave you some fun ideas to throw some parties. And yeah, let me know if you do and tell me how well they went. Anyhow, we're going to take a short break. Then I'm going to talk about Mamma Mia. Here we go again. And look at comfort foods. And we'll be right back after this.
Savory barbecue beef. Go ahead, fix a sandwich for yourself. Just look at that pure prime beef simmering in that special tangy barbecue sauce. Make a big one, like you do for the customers. Customers? Uh-oh. Somebody got it. Have to fix yourself another.
Savory barbecued beef. There's still plenty for you at the refreshment center.
Welcome back. I hope you grabbed yourself a drink or a snack or something, because we have more of Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia radio show coming your way. And I've got another review, a movie I saw just a couple of days ago, and I absolutely have to say I was pleasantly surprised. When the first Mamma Mia movie came out, I was really looking forward to it, and it was everything I wanted it to be. It was just such a feel-good film. It was amazing. It was just an incredibly fun time. I've seen the movie several times. I went to the Mamma Mia sing-along. There's something about ABBA's music that's so refreshing. But with a cast back then, like Meryl Streep and Amanda Seyfried and Dominic Cooper and Christina Baranski and Julie Walters and Pierce Brosnan, Colin Firth, Stellan Skarsgård, like Skarsgård, just an incredible cast. It's just a fun, infectious thing. Even if the cast at moments can't, they don't sing as good as ABBA, they still bring the songs to life. And oh, I just can't sing enough about Mamma Mia. I have to say, though, when they announced they were doing a sequel, my first instinct was, I think my jaw opened up and I was just like, oh, gave it a Scooby-Doo, because I couldn't believe they were going to try and recapture the magic. I also thought, there's not a lot of ABBA songs left. I know there were some big ones they missed out, but most of the big ones had already been done. And so I was really not looking forward to this. As the trailers came about, I wasn't sure about it. They mentioned that they were going to basically do flashbacks to the past, and I wasn't sold on that. I didn't like the fact that we were going to see, like, young versions of the Meryl Streep character and Christina Baranski and Julie Walters and, you know, her meeting up with the three guys that could possibly be Sophie's father. Spoilers for the original Mamma Mia. There might be some spoilers in this, too. I'm going to try not to, but it's really hard to talk about this movie without it. So when I first saw the first trailer, I happened to notice, and there is a big spoiler in this. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, you might want to fast forward to comfort foods because, how do I deal with this? Okay. I'll try not to spoil it. Basically what happens is when the first trailer dropped, I watched it and I saw that they were going to go back in time. And I thought to myself, Meryl Streep isn't in this movie, or if she is, she's not in it that much. And when the second trailer dropped, I was convinced, and I wasn't the only one. There was rumors all over the place, like, everybody's returning, but where is Meryl Streep? She's in there, but because I had seen Mamma Mia so much, I knew that all the footage they kept showing was from the first movie. Now, every once in a while, I'd see a clip that looked like it was a new clip, but it was hard to tell because it still kind of looked like the original Mamma Mia. So I was going into this not sure how they were going to pull this off, and I wasn't sure they actually could pull it off. So I didn't go to it the first weekend, but I did go to it because I thought, you know what, there's still a lot of ABBA songs, and I know they're going to repeat some ABBA songs, but since I love the original Mamma Mia, you know, you have to go. It's kind of like, you know, if you love something so much, you know you have to see the sequel, even if you are convinced it's going to be absolute crap. Well, guess what? I am happy to announce that not only is this movie not crap, that they actually keep the spirit to the original movie. And that fun and infectious time that you have in the first one, they actually get right up, I would almost say, to that euphoria that you get when you see the first movie. And at first, the movie's just absolutely charming. I have to say that Lily James in the flashback sequences are incredible as Meryl Streep. You know, she doesn't try to be Meryl Streep, but she sings and she's infectious, and you can definitely see young Donna in her. Same with the friends of Donna. And yeah, she's just great. And the three men that they cast as, you know, the young Pierce Brosnan, Colin Firth, and Stellan Skarsgård are just phenomenal. I have to give them a shout out. It's Jeremy Irvin as young Sam, Hugh Skinner as young Harry, and Josh Dillon as young Bill. They do standout things. Now, they take some liberties. Like, when we see Meryl Streep in the first movie have a quick flashback of what they look like, you're not going to see them. That version of them. It's almost like they did a parody of it for the first movie. But remember, they probably also went into Mamma Mia not thinking. Since Mamma Mia was a Broadway musical, they probably didn't think sequel. But when they saw how much money internationally it made, they were probably thinking sequel. Now, it did take 10 years, so the flashback aspect actually works really good. And I have to say that I'm glad they didn't go with the stereotypical, like, this one's a punk, this one is things. They have elements to hint back at that, but there are a couple of moments that for you diehard Mamma Mia fans, you're going to be like, well, that's not how it was. You know, the order that she sleeps with the men in the first movie changes a bit. But I think every change they made from the original movie in this is basically a positive one. And I think it was good. And I have to say, I always thought, you know, I'm not trying to slut shame Meryl Streep's character, but I thought, wow, this is a story about a woman who sleeps with three men and she doesn't even know who the father of her child is. But I'm going to say this and I'm going to come off shallow and I don't care. The three actors that they picked with their characters and their looks, by the end of it, I'm like, yeah, I would have slept with all three of them too. Like, not, and I'm not just basing it on their looks, and they're very attractive men, trust me. It's just, even though the relationships are short, they catch some magic in each of them that anybody would want. So anyhow, the movie goes back and forth between where the characters are now in their lives to the flashbacks of Meryl Streep finding, you know, the hotel that she dreams of, you know, putting on the map in the Mamma Mia. And it's they do such a wonderful job going back and forth with it. Like, it doesn't feel forced. It's a natural flow. They do it kind of like, you know, if you're a fan of the TV show Arrow, where they take modern stories and then something in the modern story comes into the flashback. They do it exactly like that. I was surprised to hear that a lot of the inspiration of the flashbacks with Meryl Streep came because of a movie unlikely to be the reason, but to inspire Mamma Mia 2, and that is Godfather Part 2. When they were trying to find ways to do the sequel, one of the writers said, you know, we should get inspiration from one of the greatest sequels of all time. And he suggested Godfather Part 2, where, you know, we actually go and see, you know, Don and the Dynamos when they were growing up and stuff. And it works wonderfully. It works wonderfully. And what I'm going to say is that I knew I was enjoying the movie. Like, I was enjoying the movie, saying, oh my God, this is almost as good as the first one. But I kept saying almost, almost. And then the last two songs came on. It might actually be three, but I'm not sure. But the ending of this movie pushes this movie up to pretty much elevated to the first movie. In fact, if you're looking for a euphoric, ABBA-filled night, you need to see these two movies together, because you will be singing. And yes, you will be singing some of the same songs. I'll get to that in a minute. But the last two production numbers, I have to say, take this movie to an elevated height. And it blew me away when I walked out of that theater and said, this was like the sequel I was not looking forward to this summer. And I think it is just one of the best movies of the summer. If you like Mamma Mia, I'd be shocked if you didn't like Mamma Mia. Here we go again. Now, there's a possibility, but this movie, I think, does so many right things. Even the small little changes they made it for the first movie in order to fit stuff in, I think works terrific. They take a daring story. Yes, there's a daring story that I managed to not tell, and actually turned it positive where it could have been a real bummer. And they do it, and they succeed in it. The music is ABBA, so it's phenomenal. Now, there are some new stuff in here that we don't know, but there's some new stuff here that I went out and started looking for, just like the first movie. In the first movie, I knew songs like Honey Honey and Lay Your Love on Me and Our Last Summer. I didn't know Our Last Summer that well. But I actually became more of fans of those songs because of the movie. I started listening to the ABBA versions more. Honey, Honey, Lay All Your Love on Me. And Our Last Summer is a phenomenal song. And I have to, you know, this movie also introduced me to some new stuff. Angel Eyes is a fun, fun song. And the one I really liked was sung by multiple people. I hope I can find it here. They did have the soundtrack. Why Did It Have to Be Me? That song was just really well done in the movie, and it made me go out and look for it. Yes, they repeat some songs, but you know what? If I go see an ABBA movie and I'm not singing Dancing Queen, I'd feel weird about that. They also play the little melodies of the ABBA songs they used in the first movie that show up in this are really nice. Very subtle, not in your face. They also find a clever way to reuse Mamma Mia, and it makes sense because it kind of adds to the scene now when Meryl Streep sings it in the first one. Because, you know, they basically show how, you know, Don and the Dynamos came up with that song. and it really fits. So they do a great job. But luckily, they did have some big ABBA songs that they didn't use in the first movie. Waterloo was only used as a throwaway song at the end for the cast to sing. This time, they find a really clever way to use it. It's probably a really forced scene, but it's so fun and infectious. Who cares? Knowing Me, Knowing You, one of my favorite ABBA songs, makes it finally into the movie. The Name of the Game, which also another great song. And this isn't really a spoiler because it's all over the trailer, but everybody knows that Cher is in this movie. And because Amanda Siegfried, I always get that name, Seyfried, Seyfried? Anyhow, the lead actress, the young one, basically, she says grandma in the thing, so we know this is Meryl Streep's mother. And so it's a nice little thing to have. Now, when the song Hung Up came out, I remember telling Mike when I first heard it, I said, oh, the gay community is going to go nuts because of the fact that Madonna has sampled an ABBA song and it became a huge hit for her. And I didn't think I'd ever see anything to top it. But when I saw Cher singing Fernando, I realized, no, I found something that topped it. This is a fun movie, and I can't recommend it enough. I think the original Mamma Mia, I gave it a 4.5. I think I gave it a little bit of a notch down because I love the fact that they used, real singers. They didn't like they used real people. So sometimes the singing was off a bit. I did find it the first time I saw it was a little off-putting. I love Pierce Brosnan, but sometimes notes and SOS just don't hit. But anyhow, I gave it a 4.5 and just I've loved it even more. And I'm going to give this movie a 4.5 too, because they were riding around about a 4, but as I said, the last two musical sequences just elevated it to that thing, and I came out with a love for life. That's the thing about these movies. I come out of these things with a love for life. I just want to be so positive and feel good. And how many movies do you get that? You come out of good movies saying, hey, that was a great movie. And then you look around and you're like, yeah, life still sucks, but it's a good movie. This movie made me want to live my life to the fullest. It made me want to, just make big changes in my life to be happier. And I think that's wonderful for any movie to do that. I do want to give a shout out to the director. I got to find his name. It is directed by Ole Parker, and he does a really great job. If you have not seen it, go out and see it. Well, first of all, wait. If you like the first Mamma Mia, give it a chance. If you didn't like Mamma Mia or avoided Mamma Mia, you're not going to like Mamma Mia. Here we go again. It's pretty much a similar movie. So if you avoided the first one and did have no interest in it, there's no reason you'd watch this either. Anyhow, I had a great time talking about it. Check it out. 4.5 out of 5 stars. A surprise of summer. I plan to go see it sometime soon before it leaves the theaters because I just love this movie so much. Anyhow, I'm going to change the tone up a little bit. Won't talk too long about this. And I probably talked about it in the past. Anyhow, it's comfort foods. We always head to comfort foods in good times, bad times. You have a bad day at work. You're waiting for dinner to cook. You can't help but grab a bag of chips or maybe a cookie. And you try your best not to, but there's a reason it's called comfort foods. And even if you're on a diet, don't kick yourself too much if you stumble and go for that chocolate chip cookie. I know you're trying hard to do stuff, but you know what? There is a reason it's called comfort foods. I have a lot of comfort foods that range from meals to snacks. And I think we all do. Some of my comfort foods, I find, Kraft dinner a comfort food. I find French toast a comfort food. I love eggs of all kind, but French toast for something. My dad used to make it for me, and even though I can't make it as good as my dad, I make it still pretty good. And as soon as I see it on the plate and put my Maggie on it, I think of him for a bit. Lots of comfort foods. Just popcorn is a comfort food for me. 'Cause going to the movies is a comfort for me, so the popcorn certainly is. We all have our own chocolate chip cookies. Though as I get older, I think I still enjoy sweets, but they're not as pivotal to me. Sometimes a comfort food can be simply a candy. I tried two of my favorite candies recently. Being an old guy, I was like, I want to try some candy. But they didn't really work for me because some foods do change as you get older. And it might also be the company changing the thing. I remember recently picking up some sweet tarts, which I used to love as a kid. And I tried them, and they were good, but not as good as I remember. And maybe it's a Maybe this isn't for a 50-year-old man. And I also picked up some bottle caps, which again, they were good, but I still miss the. I don't know. Sometimes maybe there's something in your nostalgia that you think they're better than they are. I like lots of little chocolate bars and stuff. M&M's, though, is a real comfort food to me, which is kind of weird because it's a fairly. I would say it's a more newer comfort food, because when I was a kid, I used to have Smarties all the time. And then when I got to be about in my 20s, 30s, I actually just tried a package of the chocolate M&Ms, and I thought to myself, where have you been all my life? I can still eat Smarties, but overall, I'd rather have M&Ms all the time. And that became a comfort food, those little packs that you pop in and run and grab something quick from like a convenience store, and you see the little, two for, whatever the price is, and you're like, oh, I gotta get some of these. And comfort foods are always going to be there, and as long as you don't overdo it, and I have overdo it in the past, I've been depressed. Okay, I want to say this. I haven't done this in a long time, but I have had a small box of cookies all at once when I was at a low point, or a big bag of chips, which isn't as bad as you think. Keep that in mind because they put so much air in them now. But I had it in the old days when, they had a lot more chips in it. And I don't do that anymore because one, I do feel unhealthy by the end of it. But I don't want you to kick yourself if you're like trying your best to avoid these things and you fall off the wagon. Okay? Sometimes you need that comfort food. And, hopefully you can find comfort foods. Some people I know who think vegetables and fruit can be comfort food. I don't want to be friends with those people. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just don't. It is not my thing. I enjoy an apple or a banana or the odd pear once in a while or an orange, but I always feel like it's my mandatorial duty to be eating it to get nutrients. I don't feel like, oh, wouldn't an apple be refreshing right now? But I know people who are like, oh, a piece of watermelon, that's comfort food for me. And so I get that. But all I'm trying to say is maybe treat yourself to a comfort food now and again. You started eating healthy. That's great. Why don't you throw in some macaroni and cheese or some bacon or something in your next thing? Treat yourself a little bit. You don't have to do it all the time. Maybe once a week, once a month, something like that. But if you do happen to just be like, I've been doing so well. I've been avoiding all that garbage, and then, you find yourself having a bad day, and you go to the grocery store, and suddenly a box of butter tart showed up in your thing, and you don't know how they got there. Don't kick yourself. Have it. Or if you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? I can't have that box of butter tart. Find a small package. Have a couple. Yeah, I know I'm a bad influence here. I should be telling you, stick to that diet. But I'm just saying that in this crazy world, if you get comfort from a little bit of food, yet don't overdo it. I believe everything in moderation. When you see those old people on TV that get interviewed, like, here's a lady who's 103, or here's a lady who's 98, or here's a man who's, you know, 97. When they actually interview them and they talk, sometimes you find out that they drink. Sometimes you find out that they smoke. And you think to myself, how come, you know, I smoke and drink, and my doctor's always on my ass about, you know. They probably don't do it to excess. They probably do it in moderation. And I always think that. Like, when I see older people interviewed, a lot of them are like, well, I don't do it every day, but I still do the things that I love. And that's the things that keep us young at heart. And that's a wonderful way to kind of leave this episode is, don't kick yourself. Just remind yourself that, you know, you deserve a little treat here and there. I remember even, you know, reading an old fitness book from the 60s or the 70s or something that even said, you know, eat healthy all week. But you know what? If you want to go to McDonald's one day a week or 2 days, you know, every 2 weeks, go and do it. Now, Mike and I have actually tried to cut down on fast foods. We still have it. Don't get me wrong. I couldn't live without my fish fillet. But we cut down on it. So now when we actually have it, it tastes good. Because we were having it so often to the point that we'd actually feel sick a couple of hours later and be like, oh, we ate too much pizza and stuff. So I remember when we were kids, pizza was a treat for us. And so we only had it once, you know, every couple of months. So Mike and I were both feeling bad after having some fast food. And I said, Mike, why don't we cut down on it? If we're both feeling like garbage. And we've been doing this now for a couple of months now. And, you know, when we actually, you know, I remember, like, you know, we've been eating a little bit better. Like, we don't eat, like, you know, religiously or anything, like, you know, just vegetables and a little bit. You know, we're not gone vegan or anything like that. But, you know, we have cut down on some of the more, you know, like eating out a lot more and stuff like that. Or if we eat out, we'll go to a deli where we know the ingredients are a little bit fresher because we're seeing them make the sandwich and stuff. Or, you know, we'll, you know, go to a bakery that does like meat pies or, you know, cabbage rolls or something like that, rather than going to, you know, like a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut or something like that. But anyhow, it's worked out really great because, you know, I remember like we hadn't had McDonald's in a couple of weeks and Mike just out of nowhere said, you know what, I feel like McDonald's. And we actually craved McDonald's, and then when we had it, we didn't feel sick because it wasn't something. It was a nice treat. And even me, when I go to McDonald's now, I unless I'm sitting there for a meal, but if we take it home, I just order like the sandwiches, which don't even get me started on how much they charge for the combos and just the sandwich, because it's highway robbery. I know they want you to buy the combos, but highway robbery, that's all I'm saying. But you know what? I'll pay the extra money. And I'll miss those beautiful fries, and I do sometimes. But you know what? Then another time I'll go in and just have fries. Anyhow, everything in moderation. I said we're going to leave it on the high note with, you know, so I'll bring it back down to, you know, everything in moderation. Don't knock yourself out if you steal a couple of cookies. Don't knock yourself out if you have a couple of chips. Pepperettes, whatever your comfort food is, you did it. Don't kick yourself. There was a reason you did it. There's a reason you grabbed for it. You don't have to eat the whole box. You don't even have to eat the whole bag. Everything in moderation. Treat yourself. You deserve it. Anyhow, I had a fun time on this episode. Thank you for joining me for it. I hope to have some co-hosts soon. I got something I'm dying to do, and I'm hoping to get it to you very soon. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, but I don't want to say anything until we actually do it. Anyhow, I look forward to talking to you very, very soon.